Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Bethany. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm so excited to chat with you. I feel like we're friends. So this is exciting. So tell us what you've been up to since your last release, and you have a new release coming up. So
I do have a new release coming out. It's at the end of June, June 29th. We have West End Earl, which is Cal's story. It's the second in the Misfits of Mayfair series. It was really kind of funny. The people that were reading Any Rogue Will Do, the first one that debuted in October, A lot of people were commenting on like, oh my gosh, I really hope Cal gets a book. I hope Cal gets a book. And I was going, yes, I'm really glad that I didn't save his story for later in the series, because Cal is has been an absolute joy to write. And I really hope that his story is well received.
So tell us about Cal's story. Like, what should we expect from West End Earl?
Well, if you've read Any Rogue Will Do, you know that Cal is... he's snarky, he's very funny, he doesn't necessarily go terribly deep, except he's a very loyal friend. And so in his story, you kind of get to peek behind the curtain and realize that he is the duck on the water that looks serene and perfectly put together on the outside and is madly paddling underneath. And he's the fixer for his family. He has all he puts everything on his own shoulders. He is expected, and this is kind of his role that he has grown into. Part of it is so that he can feel like he has a purpose in his family. And so there's a lot of, you know, family drama going on, and there's all of this happening on his side of things. And at his side is his loyal coworker slash employee. In the first book, it's Adam is referred to as Puppy, and because as I say, just always happy, eager to please, and big floppy, you know, floppy feet, they call him just, he's like a puppy. And so we discover in book two in West End Earl that Adam is actually Ophelia, and this is the girl in pants trope. I've tried really hard to update the girl in pants trope for a modern reader versus some of the I think it's always been a trope that I've enjoyed, but you can definitely look back on like the books in the 80s and whatnot, where you have some problematic issues, you know, when it comes to some problematic elements that kind of go hand in hand with that trope. And so that was my goal, was to really show strong allyship on the page, strong, you know, I didn't want Cal to have like that moment of gay panic. I didn't want to have those kinds of things that you run into in a lot of those girl in pants tropes from some of the older publications. So tried to update Girl in Pants for a modern reader. I hope I did a good job. I can tell you that I really, really, really tried.
The reviews are good. So the reviews are like, they're really good. Like, people
reviews are good so far.
People are loving this book. Like, even trusted friends who like read it and they're like loving this book. And they're like, they're not historical romance readers, which is like, I gotta trust their taste. And like, I love this book. And I'm like, you don't read historical romance. So I think you did a good job for modern reader, like for the modern reader who may not have read historical romance set in the 80s and 90s and saw those problematic themes and be like, I don't know if this works in 2021. So
yeah, we had one person on Instagram tagged it as a she grump and sunshine trope too, and I was like, oh, that's good. That's really good, because Ophelia has had to, I mean, she's had a rough life, okay? She's masquerading as her brother for a reason, for a very good reason. And she hasn't had it easy, you know? And so I love that there's a little bit of their like the Grumpy in Sunshine, but it's the She Grump, because she's far more likely to like smack him down and be like, dude, let's get serious here, right? Then, and of course, Cal is always a constant snark fest. So they were so much fun to write. They were just so much fun to write.
Gosh, I love this. So what can we expect for the rest of the series? Like, where do we get more books?
We do get more books. Definitely for sure one, because I have one that with my editor right now. In Cal's book, you can't go too deep into it just because it is going to be some spoilers there, and I don't want to spoil things for people who have not gotten an early copy or read it by the time this comes out. So one of the things that Cal is dealing with is he is launching his sister into society in West End Earl, and her name is Emma, and she kind of goes on a journey through book two. The person she is at the beginning of the book is not the person she is at the end of the book. And so at the beginning of the book, she is straight up a spoiled brat. By the end of the book, we're getting into her section of her life where she becomes heroine material. Mm-hmm. And so the third book is Emma's book. Now, I didn't necessarily realize when I was writing Any Rogue Will Do, because I'm a little closer to the pantser side of the spectrum than I am plotting and planning, and you know, I don't necessarily plan that far ahead. And so, but in Any Rogue Will Do, you met every one of the heroes and heroines, or they were talked about on the page for this trilogy. And at the very, very, very end of Any Rogue Will Do, if they haven't read it yet, I don't want to give spoilers, but there's a character who comes in the epilogue. Mm-hmm. And he is on the page for a very brief time. He's the sketchy sea captain. And he only has a few little pieces of dialogue. But when I was writing it, I was like, oh, dude. Oh, you're okay. All right. That's how this is going to roll. So he's the hero for book three. So it's Emma and the sketchy sea captain for book three. He's a captain in the Royal Navy, but he has good reasons for doing what he does. However, he definitely has creative means to ends, I think is probably the most politically correct way to say it. But he was fun. He was super fun. So so I have that book will be coming out next May, May of 22.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. You're like, you're putting the books out. You're like, okay, now we have to wait like a few months, you know.
Unfortunately, I would love to tell you that there's a certain point, like once I get past edits, mm-hmm. and then we're just waiting, and we're waiting for things like finalizing the cover, and they're doing all that stuff that's outside of my control, right? At that point, I'm like a little kid. I just want to shove it into people's hands. Here, meet my friends, they're fun. Yeah. Like, no self-control. That's the hardest part, is the waiting. Once the story is written, and I just want to just go shove it at people and be like, here, isn't this fun?
And I'm like, as a reader, I'm like, yes, give me more.
So I'm not looking forward to the wait of having to wait for Emma's book, but I do hope that it will be worth the wait. So
it's all good. So so what has been a couple of books that you have read that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to recommend others to read?
You know, I have been, I think especially, it's kind of funny how, like, we're kind of still in the time of COVID, although we're not in the full lockdowns and things like that anymore. So it feels like we're coming out of it. You know, I'm vaccinated, like we're starting to discover the world again. and so some people, they just like went dark and went deep when it comes to like dealing with the stress around them, where they're like, yep. Okay, you know, for me, I went the opposite direction, and I'm like, I need light. I need to be smiling the entire time. I don't want heavy angst. Give me something that will make me laugh and make me happy. And also a certain level of escapism, you know, mm-hmm. And that's really where I was very, very focused in my reading, where people are like, oh, this is so gritty. And nope, you say the word gritty, I'm out. Sorry.
I'm right there with you. I'm like,
veer away.
Any trigger warnings, any content warnings, any angst, any, I'm going to break you down and you're going to cry your heart out. First of all, I have a black heart, so I don't cry. And second of all, like, no.
I don't want to be broken.
I don't want to be broken. I want to have fun books. I want to smile. I want to be escaped. I want to have a happily ever after. You know.
So with that in mind, my favorites lately that I find myself recommending to people for contemporary Hot Mess in the Heart and the Heartthrob by Pippa Grant.
Ooh.
No okay. Way. I was snort laughing out loud so often and so loudly that my daughter came into the room. My daughter, she's like almost 20, and she's like, "Mom, what is wrong with you? What are you reading?" And so I start just reading these things out loud, and she's just cackling along, not even reading the book. She's just cackling along at whatever line I'm reading out loud. So that one, and it really hits my happy buttons for like escapism. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because yes, it is over the top hysterical, because that's just kind of what Pippa Grant does. But the hero is he's a musician. Basically, he was part of a boy band, and he's still out touring and, you know, doing a solo career. So you have like the rock star romance element of it. But you also, it takes place in a small town, and she's a single mom. And so I'm like, catnip. It's just piles and piles of catnip.
Had me a former boy banger. Like, I have a thing for boy banders, like, maybe because I was like, I grew up in the 90s. I grew up in 1999 was a good year for boy bands. Let me just say. Yeah. And so anytime, like, I think about, like, what do you have like that? Like, I need to read about former NSYNC members, former Backstreet Boy members. Like, you know,
she has, Pippa Grant has a whole boy band series. Oh. And this is one of them. But okay. Hot Mess and the Heartthrob. I absolutely adored it. It was so much fun. And and the whole single mom thing is like a personal happy for me too, because I was a single mom for like a decade. So so yeah, it's like escapism, funny, all of my contemporary catnip. That's one that I'm recommending a lot. The other one for historical that I just keep throwing it in people's faces, and I'm like, you really need to read this. You really need to read this, because it just made me happy. And that was Charis Michaels, A Duchess a Day.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Loved it. I mean, you just had this big happy bubble of joy around you when you're done finishing it. And so that alone, I was like, this is a 5-star read for me, because I just made me happy. It just made me happy. And so, I'm reading an arc for her second one now. That the one that's like the take on Tinkerbell.
Yeah, I have it. I have the arc too. And I'm like, I want to read it, but I'm like, I want to savor it for a good day where I'm feeling down. I'm like, okay, this is serotonin. You
know? Exactly. Yes. I have, it's, yeah, like you don't really have like break in case of emergency, like break glass in case of emergency arcs. Like, yeah. Those are usually books that you've held on to. I have a Charis Michaels books actually that is signed that I got at RWA. And that is one of my like break in case of emergency books. And it's on my bookshelf and it's pristine and perfect. And I've never read it. And I'm saving it for a truly, truly awful day. But it was so funny, because it's like, this has become like a break in case of emergency arc for me. I only give myself a few pages at a time, and then I go back and deal with real life. And then I go a few pages at a time, and I'm just kind of like parsing it out to make it last longer, which is not normal for me. Normally I'm just like all in, dive, just, you know, full, just surround me with the story. But this one, I'm really, really just kind of like, just pick at it a few pages at a time and trying to make it stretch. So.
Oh, that's so good. Did you read Diana Quincy by any chance?
You know what? It's on my TBR.
So her latest one is a Bone Setter one. It's fine. It's a really fun. She's an Arab. She's a Bone Setter, and he's a Viscount or Viscount. I don't know how to say it, but you know, you get the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, and her family's like meddling Arab family. Like, they're like, you're not going to marry my cow. Like, why? It's an English man. Like, no.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Like, we got to find, you're a spinster. We're going to find a husband. And it's just like really, like, it was like a delightful book. Like, her first book was a little angsty because it has this, it's like forbidden romance, like stepmom. Mm-hmm. Guy.
And I think that's why I still on my TBR, because like, yeah. I said, I've had people that are like, oh, it was just like, you know, just really, like breaks you so good in some ways. And I was like, yeah, I'll save that for later.
But the second one, it's like, it was delightful. Like, I really enjoyed reading it, because it was like, I did not know about Bone Setters and like medical, and there's like a little murder mystery, but it's like, it's just lighter about it.
Good. Okay.
I really did like that one the best. Like, you know.
So. Good deal. I will definitely check that one out, because yes, I was really enjoying all of her, like, her promo that she was doing for that and everything else. And her book looks absolutely wonderful, but I just haven't gotten to it yet because I am prioritizing light. I am prioritizing just straight up giggle fests. That's what I need right now.
Yes. I'm trying to think of, like, what book made me laugh last, and it's been a while. So I think I'm going to go for Pippa Greg. I'm reading a thriller right now because I needed a palate cleanser. I was like, I'm burned out by romance right now. Like, I'm like, I read too many of them. Like, got to a point where I was like, okay, I need a break. So, this thriller about a therapist who lost her license, and there's, like, she's dealing with this couple's counseling. And I'm like, and I'm here for her therapy sessions. I'm like, I want to go through her. Like, I know she's probably the bad guy in the end because I haven't gotten to that point. But I'm like, this is, like, how great, great I am. So now I'm like, I'll go to that therapist and, like, go through her 10th session methodology.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the other thing too, actually it's a nonfiction that I'm reading yeah, right now. It's called Unmentionable by Therese O'Neill.
Okay.
So,
Is it about underwear?
It is The Victorian Lady's Guide to Sex, Marriage, and Manners.
Oh my God, even better.
It's hysterical. Like, absolutely, like, the introduction starts with "Hello, slattern." I was like, oh my gosh, I love you. I love you so much already. I'm like a page in. But yes, I'm like, this is another one that is just a giggle a minute. But this is definitely my type of, like, nonfiction, because I don't want to be bored to death by nonfiction.
Yeah.
This is entertaining, entirely entertaining, hysterical, and really cool history. Mm-hmm. And so, and because it is Victorian, I'm at the stage now where I need to be looking at what we're writing next, mm-hmm. you know, and one of my ideas is a Victorian series. So I am enjoying myself and calling it research.
I love this kind of research. Like, you know, I'm just learning about sex in a Victorian era. And you know what? It was different from Regency. So it makes a big impact. The role of women changed. Even though Queen Victoria was a queen, the role of women and property and stuff and freedoms changed dramatically over that.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Which is why the series that I have in mind has to be Victorian.
Yeah.
Because it's women in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, yeah, it's, and it wasn't that women didn't work during the Regency, but those higher class women and middle class women did not work during the Regency. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, so I knew it had to be Victorian or later, because
Gilded Age is fabulous too. So
Gilded Age would be lovely. Absolutely lovely. You know, but right now I think that there's I think it would be hard to, like, break into Gilded Age, because there's there are just those couple authors that do Gilded Age really, really, really well. And so I think it would be kind of, like, hard to, like, elbow my way into the ranks. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Grow with Corian and then see where the world leads you. Like, see, you know, like, take it a few years, like, go incremental. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, all or nothing. Yeah.
We'll just keep going forward by 10 years and wait for them to notice.
We're a little bit more. Yeah. I was like, I love Gilded Age. Like, that's, like, my go-to, like, catnip. Like, give me Gilded Age. Give me, like, I love Joanna Shoup, like, 1890s in New York. I'm like, I'm here for it.
Yes.
Like, and so it's funny enough. I'm like, it's like, I love the fact that women were working. I love the freedom. I love the innovations that happened in Gilded Age. They're like, you know, and I was actually talking to my director. She was like, oh, you should go to Marsha Fields for the Oak Room. The Marsha Fields is right now Macy's, but it's a big department store in Chicago, and there's an Oak Room, and it was the first restaurant for women so they can spend a day shopping. And it's that happened. I was like, that happened in Gilded Age. Like, I know that's a Gilded Age invention, you know, yep. Like, they wanted women to go, like, shop all day so they have a place for them to eat, and you gotta do this. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, it's a Gilded Age.
Having access to public restrooms for women,
yeah,
so that they were able to go out, like, actually longer than the period it would take before, you know, you have between the times when you have to use the restroom. Yeah. I mean, like that, it's a Gilded Age thing. It's amazing because it is. It, when you see, that's one of the kind of exciting, cool things about Gilded Age and Victorian, and of course, you know, opposite sides of the pond. But
yeah,
but that time period in history, you have so many innovations happening. Mm-hmm. You have, the world is changing at this breakneck speed, mm-hmm. and so you know, that's when you start getting like telegraph wires, and you start getting the early inventions of telephones, and you start getting, or I mean, you're having switching, like everyone switches over to gas, and then everyone switches over to electricity, and then trains. I mean,
right, yeah.
it really truly is an amazing time of history. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think it's actually a little bit like overwhelming how much was going on during that time. And so to put a character there, I think
you just need to grow into it. Just like grow, like just like Lisa Kleypas is growing to her eras. Like they keep growing, they keep getting longer and longer and longer. Like, you know, like right now, like I read the newest one, Devil in Disguise, and it's about the Wallflower's oldest daughter. And so it's like the Wallflowers happened, like she wrote those like 20 years ago, like 50 years ago. And then like she's like, okay, we're going, like we're aging that, like, you know,
like it's the next generation.
Next generation, we're adding trains, we're adding telegraph, we're adding all these innovations, like slowly but surely. You're like, oh, we're like in a different world from the Wallflowers, you know. So you can create a world and it just allows you to just explore and expand and see where it leads you.
Well, I do have to say that if I am able to sell my publisher on the idea of the Victorians, I think that like one of the first things that I'm going to do is I have to make sure that I bring in some of my misfits, because they'll be older.
Yeah.
Like my misfits will be like 60, between 60 and 70. And I really love the idea of seeing Lottie and Ethan as old people. Yeah. They're like, you know, I mean, and even then 60 isn't terribly old, but if in the Regency, it sure was. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, getting to see Lottie and Ethan as old people, and getting to see Cal and Fee, and you know how they age and how they're interacting after, you know, 30 plus years of marriage. And you know, I think when I was writing the third book, that was one of the most fun that I had in this entire series, was putting all of the couples together on the page at the same time. I mean, like basically what I keep telling people is like, this book is so much fun. It's so fun. I don't know if it's good, but I know it's fun. Because it's basically just all of my imaginary friends playing together, and it's just a hoot. So I'm really having a blast with the series.
So glad you're having a blast. And you know what? It shows when you're writing. So
well, thank you.
When a writer has fun, it's like, it's fun. It's a fun book to read, you know? So I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
Let's see. I am, my happy place is Instagram. Okay. So I am Bethany Writes Kissing Books on Instagram. I am Bethany Romance on Twitter. Bethany Historical Romance on or Bethany Bennett Historical Romance on Facebook. And I have a reader group on Facebook called The Beehive. So you can look, if you're just searching, you can look for, you know, Bethany Bennett Beehive. And if you join the hive, that's, you know, they get things like I'm working on a short Christmas novella that's going to, you know, a short story that's going to be in part of an anthology that'll be free for Christmas. And that's going to be for my newsletter subscribers. So, newsletter subscribing, that's my website, BethanyBennettAuthor.com. But people in the hive, they get like first of everything basically. So they get things like where I'm like, so this is this piece of nonsense that I'm writing right now, and I'm just enjoying myself. And, you know, I'll go on live for a few minutes and like just read whatever I'm doing, or like, hey, these, you know, like right now we have, I have a giveaway that I'm doing. If you're a Hive member, you can sign up, and I have these cool little solid perfumes that I made, mm-hmm. That are jojoba and beeswax and essential oils, and there's a 1 cent for each heroine of the Misfits of Mayfair. And so some of the bookstagrammers got got some sets. You know, I gave some along to my publicist to pass as a thank you for everything the Bookstagram has done for me, and the rest of them are going to go to Hive members. And so, if you're part of the Hive, you get free stuff like that. You get fun little insider things. If there's big news happening, they find out first. That kind of stuff. So, I think that's everywhere: Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, newsletter on my website. I think that covers all the bases.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I want to make sure I wasn't important. I wasn't missing something important.
Awesome. Thank you, Bethany, for being in the show.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you having me back. It's as fun as always.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.